Tell you what, turn to 2 Timothy 1 and 9. Okay? We'll see if we can answer this question. 2 Timothy 1, 9. You know, if any of you that have come out of probably at least the Presbyterians, in this case Baptists we were talking about, and not rethought this will be interesting to you. It'll also be an exhortation for you to grow up in the Lord. I found that the truth always motivates people to holiness. It motivates them to turn loose of the world and run after God. But the lie always makes you comfortable where you are. And there's a lot of lies out there. There's an unconditional eternal security lie. Last week I had what ended up to be a debate between myself and two Baptist preachers that was arranged. So these two Baptist preachers were teaching, they had gotten a revelation of election. And the Baptists don't generally accept election, but they had. And they were seeing that the elect were going to be in the kingdom. And they were using election to teach once saved, always saved. So I began to point out to them that they used the predestination of the elect to prove that all Christians, once saved, always saved. And the only thing I told them, I said, you're leaving out half of the equation here. I said, you're talking about the elect, but you're not talking about the call. Their theory about the call was, we call the world to come to Christ, and they either choose to come or choose not to come. However, I pointed out in the scriptures that all of the called in the New Testament were covenant people. All of them. There's not one case in the New Testament where we've called the lost Gentiles to come to Christ and they say, no, we're not going to come. Because calling starts, according to 2 Timothy 1 and 9, it starts when you get saved. That's when calling starts, okay? 2 Timothy 1 and 9, who saved us and called us with a holy calling. Who saved us and called us. You have to be saved before you can be called. What is called? The word called is the word kaleo, and it means to be invited. To be invited. To be invited to do what? Well, look at Hosea. It's after Daniel. Hosea chapter 11, verse 1 and verse 2. Who saved us and called us. You get this invitation when once you come to Christ. An invitation to what? Well, 11, 1 and 2 says, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Call my son out of Egypt. What does that mean? They were invited to forsake the world and to sacrifice to God in the wilderness. We've been invited to forsake the world and to sacrifice to God in the wilderness. He said, I called my son out of Egypt. He invited them. First of all, when they came out of Egypt, they passed over the Red Sea. They were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, which is a type of what? Salvation, right? They ate the lamb. They partook of the lamb. The death angel passed over. They passed through the sea. They were baptized in water, and they were baptized in the Spirit, and they went into the wilderness. All these people were saved. All of them were saved. I called my son out of Egypt. All these people were called, but they didn't make it through the wilderness to go to the promised land. You understand? What are we called to do? We're called to partake of Christ. In the wilderness, you make choices. Whether you're going to believe in the Lord and believe in His Word, or walk by sight, walk by fear, listen to the devil, and fall and stumble. You see? Okay. Here's another example. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. I'm still trying to identify for you what this calling is, what this invitation is, okay? And I'll make this point. I've looked at every word called in the whole New Testament. And when it's talking about the particular thing we're talking about, not in one case is it ever talking about inviting the lost to come to Jesus. Not one case. I invite you to look and see, you see. Because 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9 says, He saved us and called us. You have to be saved before you can be called. These Israelites were invited to come out of Egypt. After they partook of the Passover lamb, they were invited to come out of Egypt. See, verse chapter 3 and verse 1 says, Holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling. Who's a partaker of a heavenly calling? Holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling. Okay? In other words, we're the ones that are partaking of the invitation to partake of Jesus and come out of Egypt. Another verse. I'm going to give you one more here. 1 Timothy chapter 6. If it was true what they told us, then you ought to be able to find one verse in the New Testament where some lost person was called but didn't come. There's no such thing. I've looked. Now, I'll look at something in a minute we probably haven't thought about, but I'll look at that. Let's see. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I still want to identify for you what this calling is, all right? 1 Timothy 6, verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. He's talking about materialism mostly here. And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Lay hold on the life eternal. You understand? People say, well, I've already got eternal life. Why do I have to lay hold on eternal life? No, you have eternal life by faith, and you have eternal life in Jesus Christ, but your eternal life has to be manifest. And the way it's manifest is to have Christ in you. You see, that's the manifestation of eternal life. Watch. Lay hold on life eternal, whereunto thou wast called. See, we've been called to partake of eternal life. And eternal life is righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. In other words, eternal life is Jesus Christ. See, 1 John 5 says, the record that God gave us in 1 John chapter 5 was that God gave unto us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. See, some people think, well, God gave me this gift of eternal life. No, He didn't put it right there in your hand. The Bible says the promise was made to a seed as of one, not seeds as of many, and that seed is Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 3. Okay? So, the promise wasn't given to us, the promise was given to Jesus Christ, according to the Bible. The way we get is to 1 John 5 and 11, and the witness is this, that God gave unto us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. God didn't give you anything outside of Jesus Christ. See, the life that God gave us is in Jesus Christ. How do we get in Jesus Christ? What is it to... See, Jesus said... Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 15? He said, if you abide in Me, you bear fruit. If you bear fruit, My Father, who is the husbandman, won't pluck you up and throw you in the fire. John 15, 1 through 6. Did you ever notice that? So what is it to abide in Jesus Christ? That's what we're learning. We're learning to abide in Jesus Christ. See? I'm going to give you an example. I still want to... 1 John. Turn to 1 John. Chapter 2. In verse 5. 1 John 2 and 5. 5 and 6. See, 1 John tells you what it is to abide in Christ. He mentions this probably 5 or 6 times. And it's a pretty interesting sequence. Verse 5 says, But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily hath the love of God been perfected. Hereby we know that we are in Him. He that saith, He abideth in Him, ought himself also to walk, even as He walked. Abiding in Christ is to learn to walk as He walked. You say, well, David, in some ways I'm walking as He walked, in some ways I'm not. Well, to that extent you're walking in Him, and to the other extent you're not, frankly. You know that your flesh doesn't walk in Him, does it? The Bible says your flesh is the enemy of God. It's not subject to the laws of God. Do you understand? When you walk after the flesh, your flesh is not subject to the laws of God, and you don't walk as He walked. See? But your spiritual man walks as He walked. And he's growing. While the outer man is decaying, the inner man is being renewed. And this spiritual man is learning to walk as He walked. Okay, here's another verse. Chapter 2, and verse... This is an important one, and it's going to be more and more important as we draw towards the end here. Verse 24. As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, you also shall abide in the Son and in the Father. See, it's not just any doctrine you want to believe that causes you to abide in Christ. It's the doctrine that you heard from the beginning. No adding to it, no taking away from it. He pronounces curses upon those that do, not blessings. Okay? So, we're learning to accept. See what God told the disciples? You go make disciples, and you teach them to observe everything that I have told you. So, in other words, our doctrine should be the same doctrine as those apostles had. Nothing added, nothing taken from. Okay? So that is also learning to abide in Him. There's another point. Gaining the doctrine enables you to walk in the power, because the power comes from faith, right? So you have to be convinced that what Jesus gave those first apostles, they passed on to the next disciples and on down to us. Like the church I was talking about, I asked them, they were very surprised that I believed the elders could lay hands on the sick and they would recover, these two Baptist ministers, because that wasn't their experience. And I said, well, that's because you don't have elders. I says, elders are apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. Well, they thought they were assistants to the pastor. Not ordained people who are older in the Lord. I said, when elders lay hands on the sick, according to James chapter 5, they recover. If they're laying hands on a believer, that is. If they're laying hands on somebody that's believing, they recover. Well, he was very taken back by that. But that was being a little overconfident here. I said, well, if you would come over our little assembly, you'd see a lot of people healed that way. You know, and we mentioned a few, Mark and I both mentioned a few miracles that these people have never seen in their church, because they're not elders, you know. 1 John 3, let's start in verse 6. Now, this one might surprise you. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither knoweth Him. See, you don't just jump into Christ all at one time. You're learning, you're getting, as a baby learns to walk, we're learning to walk as He walked. And we're learning to walk in Christ. And we're learning to bear fruit. You understand? To bear fruit is to walk as He walked. You say, well, who is this person He's talking about that doesn't sin? Well, that's your spiritual man, the one who's growing up in you. You know that man never sins? Your spiritual man never sins. He's the born-again man. He's born from above. He never sins. It's your flesh that sins. And when you give in to your flesh is going to cause you to walk outside of Jesus Christ. You know that the Bible says there is no sin in Him? When you walk in sin, are you walking in Him? Nope. There is no sin in Him. Shall I take away the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Did you hear what He said? Shall I take away the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? He was exhorting people not to fall into fornication, spiritual or physical. But He says, look, you're either one or the other, but you can't be both. And you can't be in Jesus walking in sin. Your spiritual man doesn't walk in sin. He's born from above. You know, it's the carnal man that walks in sin. And if you walk after sin, if you walk after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live, the Bible says, Romans chapter 8. So what He's saying here is, your spiritual man here, he's born of God, he doesn't sin, and he's growing. If you're feeding him, he's growing, okay? If you're starving him, he's not. Verse 6, whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not, and whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither knoweth Him. My little children, let no man lead you astray. Listen to this now. Let no man lead you astray. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. Now, we hear that people who call themselves Christians are righteous. That's not what God says. The man that does righteousness is righteous. You know, we're hearing about a grace that's not the truth. It's called lascivious grace, you know. A license to do what you want to do, you know. Even as he is righteous, he that doeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. To this end was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So, that's again what it is to walk in him. Let's recap just a little bit. To abide in him is to walk as he walked. To abide in him is to accept the doctrine that was once given in the Scriptures. To abide in him is to depart from sin. Verse 24, to abide in him is to keep his commandments. And he that keepeth his commandments abideth in him, and he in him. See? To abide in him is to keep his commandments. So, we've got to abide in him is to bear fruit. Jesus said, if you abide in me, you're going to bear fruit. To abide in him is to walk as he walked. To abide in him is to accept only the doctrine that was given at the beginning. If that which you heard from the beginning, see, then you abide in him, okay? And to abide in him is to separate yourself from sin. So, you say, well, I to some extent abide in him and to some extent I don't. That's the truth. And bearing fruit is learning to abide in him so that the sap that flows through the vine will flow through the branches and give life to you, right? Okay, so do you see how we're really laying hold of eternal life? Eternal life is in the Son. You want more eternal life? First of all, we accept eternal life as a given gift to us when we start this walk. We proclaim that we are saved. We proclaim that we are delivered. We proclaim Romans chapter 6, we are made free from sin. We proclaim that old things have passed away and all things have become new. We proclaim that we're delivered out of the power of darkness. We proclaim these things by faith because they are ours by faith. Now what we have to do is walk in that faith so that they become ours by manifestation. You see? That's the whole plan. Suppose somebody has claimed it by faith, but they never walk in it. The Bible says faith without works is dead. It's incomplete. See, I'll show you my faith by my works, James says. In other words, I'll show you the person who has the correct doctrine. It's working for him. It's delivering him. Okay, that's the one who's got the correct doctrine. Dennis and I both got the same word last week from the Lord. Let the God who answers by fire be God. You know, the Baal prophets, they had their sacrifice, and Elijah had his sacrifice, and the God who answered by fire burned up that sacrifice. You know, we are living sacrifices. We are a burnt offering unto the Lord. You see, the continual burnt offering, folks, is not some fire over there in Jerusalem. We are the continual burnt offering. The Bible says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And we go through these fiery trials in order to burn up the wood, hay, and stubble. Okay? Well, Elijah's offering was burnt up. It was proof that his God was God. You understand? If you've got the wrong God, your offering's not going to be burnt up. If you've got the Baal God, you know, the golden calf that they call Jehovah, then your offering is not going to be burnt up. But if you've got the true God, the true doctrine, the doctrine that you heard from the beginning, your offering is going to be burnt up. So we're getting a long ways from calling election here. But we've been called to partake of eternal life. Who has? Who has an opportunity to partake of eternal life? Just us. Just the people of the kingdom. Like I said, you can't find where somebody who was out of covenant with God ever got a call and didn't come. It's not in the Bible. The calling is to the saints. Now, let's look a little bit deeper. What about Matthew 22? Look at Matthew 22. Listen to what the Bible says. Many are called. Doesn't say all are called, because if it meant all, it would have said all. Okay? Many are called, but few are chosen. Who are the many called? I'm going to point out to you who the many are called. Matthew 22, verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake again in parables unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king who made a marriage feast for his son, and sent forth his servants to call, there's the word right there, kaleo, them that were bidden, that's the word again, by the way, bidden, called, it's the same word, kaleo. So, he sent out his servants to call them that were called. Now, wait a minute. He's going to call somebody who was already called? That's the Jews. The Jews already had a call. He didn't. Jesus said, I've only been sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He wasn't going to the pagans, you hear. He was going to the Jews. Watch, I'm going to prove it to you. He says, to call them that were called to the marriage feast. And they would not come. Why? Watch. And he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them that were bidden, or called, same word, kaleo, Behold, I have made ready my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the marriage feast. But they made light of it, went their way, one to his farm, another to his merchandise, and the rest laid hold on his servants, and treated them shamefully, and killed them. Now, who was doing this, folks? The Jews were doing this to the prophets of the Lord. Okay? The proof that it was the Jews is the next verse. But the king was wroth and sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned their city, which he did in 70 AD. They rejected the call to come and partake of the marriage feast. I'm going to tell you what the marriage feast is. I don't have time to get into it. The marriage feast is the body and blood of Christ. That's the marriage feast. And Jesus told those people that were listening to him and following him, if you don't eat my body and drink my blood, you don't have any life in you. That's our challenge. Our challenge is to partake of the life of Jesus Christ, his body, which is the Word of God, and his blood, which is the nature, you see. Your nature is in your blood, you see. The life of the flesh, or life or nature of the flesh, or soul of the flesh, is in the blood, you see. So that deals with those that were called. Now he's calling somebody new. Watch. Verse 8. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they that were called, or bidden, same word, were not worthy. That was the Jews. Go ye therefore unto the partings of the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid, call, kaleo, call, to the marriage feast. This is a new call. This is not calling them that were called. This is a new call. And it's not to the first people who rejected him. This is the Gentiles' call here. Okay? And those servants went out into the highways and gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was filled with guests. Bad and good, if you would say, you know, that to the Jew, a bad would be a dog, or a swine, or an unbelieving Gentile, frankly, okay? But when the king came in to behold the guests, he saw there a man who had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are electos. Elect. Few are elect. See? Chosen is the word elect. The same word that's translated elect in other places, it's chosen. Okay? The Bible says in Romans 13, Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't make provision for the lust of the flesh to fulfill them. See? See, when you put on Jesus, you're not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, you're fulfilling the desires of the Spirit. You're walking after the mind of the Spirit, okay? The bride, in Revelation 19, she had this bright garment, which was called the righteous acts of the saints. That's what that garment was. See, when we put on Jesus Christ, we're putting on his actions. We're putting on his nature. We're putting on his character. We were baptized into the name of the Lord. The word name means nature, character, and authority. We were baptized into his name. We put on Christ, you see, when we were baptized, you see. We put him on by faith. Now, we're putting him on by manifestation as we walk in that faith. See, we're we have this faith, but we're going through trials. And these trials are sometimes the very opposite of our faith. And as we endure in our faith, we receive what we believed at the beginning, you see. And so, do you see this? Many are called, but few are chosen. Now, the chosen are not going to be lost, are they? They're chosen. They're not going to be lost. Here's the way it is. The Lord has planted a field. And in Isaiah chapter 5, this field was all of Israel. He had a vineyard that he planted, and his vineyard was all of Israel. But when he goes to pick, he complained that there would be so little fruit in this field. When you go and pick, you're not going to pick the plant, you're not going to pick the green fruit, you're going to pick the fruit. See, chosen here is picking fruit. God is not picking plants. He don't even want the plant. The plant is the natural, you see. The fruit is what he's picking. So he called his son out of Egypt, but how many bore fruit and went into the promised land? The wilderness was the place of bearing fruit. If they didn't bear fruit there, they didn't go to the promised land. Contrary to popular opinion. look at Matthew 25. I couldn't believe what this man said here about this verse. You know, I mean, I couldn't believe what he said about that one, but this one here was really strange. I want to ask you a question here. 25 and 14. For it is as when a man going into another country called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Who is that man? This is not a trick question, folks.
Jesus.
Yeah, of course. I mean, yes, it is. And he called the word kaleo. He called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. See? Now, how many servants did he call here? He called one who gave him five, another gave two, another gave one talent. Okay? And as you know, the person with the two and the person with the five brought forth fruit of what the Lord put in. But the guy with the one didn't bring forth any fruit. Did God pick him? No. He cast him into outer darkness, the same thing we read over there in Matthew 22. He didn't pick him to go into the kingdom, to go into the Father's house. See, verse 29, I guess, would be a good place to start. For unto every one that hath shall be given, he shall have an abundance, but from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away. So he took it away from the one, and he gave it to the guy with the ten. Cast ye out the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. This word servant is bondservant. If you look through the Bible, you'll find the only ones the Lord calls his bondservants are his people. See, he talked about the bondservants of sin, he talked about the bondservants of Satan, and he talked about his own bondservants. Okay? So this one here who called his own servants is the Lord, and these people are his servants. These are not the lost. These are his servants. Okay? But here's a servant that didn't do anything with what his Lord gave him. And so he was cast into outer darkness. You know, casting out of darkness is not spoken about the lost who never come to Christ. In every case in the New Testament where that's spoken about, it's talking about an unfaithful servant of the Lord. Somebody who hadn't borne fruit, who hadn't done anything with what God gave them, you see. So, in this case, this preacher said, well, you can't prove that that's the Lord. He said, it's a parable. Yeah. Yeah, it's a parable. But it certainly fits with everything else in the Bible. It's a parable. And I can't prove to somebody who doesn't want to see that this is the Lord and that these people are Christians. But the fact is that they are. Look at Galatians chapter 1. There's no difference of when that happened in Jesus' day as when it's happening in our day. There's no difference. They're doing the same thing. and they're not going to bear fruit because they're not abiding in the doctrine that was once delivered unto the saints. He said, contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, who is he talking to? Jude.
Back up, David.
Okay.
You're going pretty quick here. What did he think that meant?
What?
It's only a parable. What did he interpret that as?
Well,
as the being.
He didn't give any interpretation. He just couldn't accept mine.
Okay. I wonder, what was he understanding? Or not understanding?
He didn't give any understanding. They didn't get any understanding. All they were saying was, you can't believe that, because once saved, always saved is true. Well, look at this. Jude, verse 1. I hope you finger there in Galatians 1. I'll go back, but since we got distracted, we're going to go this way. Jude, verse 1. Okay. I want to show you something. Many are called, but few are chosen. If you're going by percentages, you better watch out. Many and few. You got that? Okay. Because there is going to be a great falling away, especially of people who don't hold to the doctrine that was once delivered unto the saints. Verse 1. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are, what? Called. So he's talking to all the called here. All the called. Watch. Beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Okay? Verse 3. Beloved, while I was giving all diligence to write unto you of our common salvation. He's addressing only the called, and he says they all have a common salvation. Okay? So now he's going to go on to warn them. I was constrained to write unto you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are crept in men privily, even they who were of old written of beforehand under this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Let me say something about denying the Lord. He's not talking about denying that the Lord is the Lord. The people in the wilderness, they never denied that Jehovah was Jehovah. That wasn't their problem. They just denied what he said. They never deny. The devil believes that Jesus is Lord, but he's not going to admit what he says. He's not going to admit it to us. He wants to disturb it. Hath God said? That's what the first thing he said to Eve. Hath God said? He wanted to change what God said. He didn't deny God was God. He just said, hath God said? Let's change what he says. If you change what he says, you don't abide in him. If you don't abide in him, you don't bear fruit. If you don't bear fruit, the Father who is the husbandman is going to pluck you up. See? So, verse 5. Now I desire to put you in remembrance, though you know all things once and for all, that the Lord, having saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. See? So you can be saved and then destroyed. You can be saved and then lost. You can be saved if you're only called and not be elect. Because there are many called, but few elect. Okay? Now, the Apostle Paul knew, for instance, that there was a condition to election. So we looked at some of the conditions, okay? There is a condition to election. These people are making no condition to election except that they've accepted Jesus as their personal Savior. They got a rude awakening coming. The wilderness is coming whether they like it or not. And if they don't believe what this book says, when they get in that wilderness, they are going to fall. And there's going to be a great falling away. We're coming to the wilderness. The Bible tells you in Revelation chapter 12 and Revelation chapter 17 that the wilderness is the tribulation period. We're coming to a great wilderness. Now, I'm not saying you're not in your individual wilderness. That's true. We're supposed to walk out into our wilderness, but frankly, the church has refused. So God's going to push them. He's going to push them into what he calls his wilderness, and that's the tribulation period. Galatians 1 and 6. We're still talking about the called and the elect. And what are the conditions to be elect? Okay? Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. I marvel that you're so quickly removing from him that called you in the grace of Christ unto a different gospel. See, so you can remove from him after being called and be removed from him by a different gospel. You know what's a different gospel? Just accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's another gospel, folks. That's not even in the Bible. That's not even the Bible. It's not even there. The Bible says repent. Repent means change your mind. What these preachers were not doing is changing their mind when they read the Word. They were not doing that. Okay? So, the Apostle Paul was called in verse 15, when it was the good pleasure of God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through His grace to reveal His Son in me. What does He call us for? To reveal His Son in you. That's what He called you for. To reveal you. You say, He was called from His mother's womb. Look, He's not talking about His physical mother. He just got through talking about coming out of His dead religion. He's talking about His religion. He's not talking about His physical mother. He came out of Judaism and came into Christianity. That's where He was separated from His mother's womb. See? Verse 14, I advanced in the Jews' religion beyond many of mine own age among my own countrymen, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it was the good pleasure of God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me, you see, isn't that neat? We have to come out of mother. You know who our mother is? The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 50, our mother is Babylon. We've been in apostasy. We've been in religion. We've got to come out. We've got to follow the Lord, you see. So, here's the Apostle Paul saying he was called. Well, that must mean, according to these people, he couldn't be lost. The Apostle Paul couldn't be lost. Well, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Couldn't be lost. According to them, he can't be lost. As long as you're called, you can be lost. You say, well, what if I'm elect? You don't know that. You have to prove that. You can't prove that you're elect. You can only prove that you're called. You know how you can prove that you're called? Because you were saved. How are you going to prove your election? Bear fruit. Because God is coming to pick the fruit. It's a harvest. It's a harvest. He's coming to pick the fruit. See? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they that run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. Who's the one that's going to receive the prize? Huh? Jesus Christ, the elect. Right? Everybody that abides in Him, okay, is going to receive the prize. If you're not abiding in Him, can you receive the prize? No, you're not going to get any prize. Okay. And every man that striveth in the games, verse 25, exercises self-control in all things. This is very important. If you're not exercising self-control, you're not going to be elect. Now, they do it to receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. You mean we have to exercise self-control in order to get our crown? That's what he said. I therefore so run as not uncertainly. So fight I as not beating the air. I buffet my body and I bring it into bondage, lest by any means, after that I have preached to others, I myself would be rejected. Reprobated is the word there. Adokimos, reprobated. The Apostle Paul said he could be reprobated. If he didn't keep his body under submission, he would be reprobated. And he was the one who said he was called. See? He's called. When he got saved, he got called. But now, he has to keep that flesh under so that he can bear fruit, so that he won't be reprobated. You see?
I just got a revelation.
Good.
You wasn't a Baptist.
You wasn't a Baptist, no. Okay? Look at 2 Peter. I want to show you again. How are you going to prove that you're elect? 2 Peter. 2 Peter, verse 9. Chapter 1 and verse 9. And he just got through talking about all the attributes of Christ from 4 through 8. Okay? And verse 9 says, it starts fitting together, folks. All of it's got to fit, or it's not the truth. It's all got to fit. All of it. Okay? They like to throw out whatever they want to throw out. But the truth is, you've got to accept it all. For he that lacketh these things, talking about these attributes, is blind, seeing only what is near, having forgotten the cleansing from his old sins. See, the Lord delivered us from sin, folks. He did that 2,000 years ago. We are free from sin. If you believe the gospel, you have to believe that. You can't believe that you're a sinner saved by grace. If you believe that, you're not believing the gospel. We were sinners, and we are saved by grace. And His grace delivered us from the power of sin. The Bible says so. If you believe you're always going to be a sinner, then you're always going to be a sinner, and that is another gospel. Another gospel. You'll never overcome sin that way. Verse 10. Wherefore, brethren, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure. See, we've got to make two things sure here. That we're not only called, but elect. Okay. Now, how are you going to do that? For if you do these things, you shall never stumble. So, if we do these things, we're not going to stumble, and we're going to enter the kingdom. Didn't we enter the kingdom back there when we said, Jesus is my Savior, I'm saved, so on and so forth? Your spirit entered the kingdom. Your spirit entered the kingdom. The Bible says your soul is born again through your obedience to the truth. How much truth did you obey when you came into the kingdom? Not much. Where are we going to bear fruit? See, God gave us a new spirit so we bear fruit in our soul. See? And a person who doesn't bear fruit in the area of the soul, which is your nature and your character, they're not bearing fruit. Our spirit is saved. Our soul is being saved, and our body will be saved. That's what the Bible teaches, you see. Okay, but to make our calling and election sure, we have to do these things. How do you do these things? You have to walk by faith to do these things. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So you have to walk by faith. Because if a person doesn't have these things, then they forgot that they were cleansed of their old sins. See what he said? See, a person that professes that they don't have these things, they don't remember that Jesus took away their sins, or else they never knew the gospel in the first place. That's the big part of it. A lot of people never knew the gospel. A lot of people have never heard the gospel. They've heard another gospel. Okay? But the gospel is He made you free from sin. Reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. It's no more I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. That's the gospel. So do I have these things? I have them all by faith. And as I walk in that faith, God will be sure to give me what these say, you see. Okay? So, we have to make our election sure. It's not a sure thing. Fruit is what God is choosing. Choosing means elect. Eklektos, same word, okay? Fruit is what God is choosing. If you look at the next part of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you know, you can't separate 1 Corinthians chapter 10 from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. There wasn't a 10 there in the original, was there? It just went right on, right? Well, chapter 10 on, he exhorts us not to be like those Israelites who were baptized under Moses in the cloud in the sea, and with most of them, verse 5, 1 Corinthians 10 and 5, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things are for our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be idolaters, or so on and so forth. You get the point? The point is, everything that happened unto them is a warning to you, because you're in the same position they were in. See? What Paul is saying is the same thing he just got through saying. Look, I've got to keep this body under submission, or I'm going to be rejected and won't enter the promised land just like them. So, to be, Paul said he was called. He also said he could be lost. He didn't believe what they believed. He didn't believe once saved. He didn't believe in unconditional eternal security. Okay. Eternal security is right. Because as long as you abide in the Son, you have eternal security. But your eternal security is in the Son. Eternal life is where? 1 John 5. In the Son. If you abide in Him, you have the life. If you don't, you don't have the life. The life is in the Son. Hebrews chapter 3 is a good place, I think, because he's making the same application. Remember what he said there in verse 1, that we are partakers of a heavenly calling. And in verse 6, verse 1 says we. The Christians are partakers of the heavenly calling. And verse 6 says, but Christ has a son over his house, whose house are we, if we hold fast our boldness and the glorying of our hope firm unto the end. That's an exhortation to walk by faith. Continue to walk by faith to prove whose house you belong to. Verse 12. Take heed, brethren, save people, right? Lest after there shall be any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in falling away from the living God. Well, they say you can't fall away, so much for that, right? Verse 14. For we all become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence firm unto the end. We're partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence firm unto the end. They said they already got Jesus. In fact, I heard them say, you got all the Jesus you're ever going to get. Have you ever heard them say that? That's a lying devil. That's what that is. Because when you start on this thing, you didn't get all the Jesus that you're ever going to get. Ephesians chapter 3 says, the Apostle Paul prayed a prayer, and he was praying that we would be strengthened by his Spirit in the inner man so that Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith. I was always told, well, when you got saved, Jesus came into your heart. Not according to Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was praying that God would strengthen you by his Spirit in the inner man so that Christ can dwell in your heart through faith to the end that you would apprehend, not comprehend, that's King James, it's apprehend, the word's apprehend, that you would apprehend with all the saints what is the length and the breadth and the height and the depth and to know the love of Jesus Christ. So, we need to be strengthened by His Spirit so that we can apprehend everything that Jesus is. The next verse says, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Why is he praying for Christians in this way? Because that's what we need. That's what bearing fruit is. Bearing fruit is what? It's Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Fruit is Jesus. See, the parable sowed the seed. Seed was the word. The word seed there is the word sperma. The sperma of God is his word. He sows it where? In our hearts. It bears fruit in one out of the four he talked about. It bore fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. One out of four. That's many called, few chosen, right? Okay. It bore fruit. What is the fruit? If the Word of God is God's sperma, then what is the fruit? It's Jesus Christ. Each seed brings forth after its own kind. See, he's sowing the Word in our heart in order for him to be manifest in us. Length, breadth, height, and depth of him. All the fullness of God. See? And if it was impossible, why in Ephesians chapter 3 did he pray this prayer for us if it was impossible for us to attain to that? And then also again in the next chapter, that we might grow up in all things into him, that we might be perfected. He gave apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists for the perfecting of the saints under the work of ministry. See, perfecting of the saints. See? So, bearing fruit is coming into the perfection of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. Oh, verse 1. Hebrews 4 and verse 1. Abiding in him is coming into his fruit. The fruit is him. He is growing in you, just like a baby grows in the womb of her that's with child, you know. He said, I'm going to see you again. Like you're like a woman in travail. What is it, John 16? You're like a woman in travail. But he said, when the baby's going to be, when the baby is born, I'm going to see you again. You're going to rejoice. See what the fruit that's being born to us is Jesus Christ. Soon it's going to be manifest to the whole world, and that's going to be a time of rejoicing, because when Jesus is manifested in you, that is the hope of our salvation. That's why we entered this thing in the first place. And that's what fruit is, and that's what eternal life is Christ in you. And Hebrews 4 says, let us fear therefore. lest haply a promise being left of entering into his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. Fear lest we leave a promise out? You know, yeah. I mean, we're here. The Bible says, having therefore these promises, let us cleanse ourselves, 2 Corinthians 7:1, let us cleanse ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Well, what do we use to perfect holiness? God's promises. The fruit is born of the seed that's sown in our heart, and that seed is the Word of God. See? Well, we've had this good news, this gospel preached unto us. Is it of necessity going to do us any good? Is this good news going to, of necessity, do us any good? The next verse says, for indeed we have had good tidings, or good news, the gospel, preached unto us, even as also they, but the word of hearing did not profit them, because it was not united with faith with them that heard. In other words, the gospel is useless without faith. The thing that unlocks the power of the gospel is your faith, you see. And it didn't profit them. They got the gospel preached to them. They believed the gospel. But when they got into the wilderness, they staggered through unbelief, and they didn't hold fast to the gospel, and they lost out.
David, there's a scripture reference that says that you cannot see what's locked out of his hand.
Yes. John chapter 8.
Okay, can we go back to that and let's see?
Sure. Sure. John chapter 8.
What do they really mean by that? I know we're finding out here as to once saved, always saved.
I'll show you a couple of the ones that they use, okay? John chapter 10 and verse 27 and 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And no one shall snatch them out of my hand. They don't like the verse before it, because the verse before it identifies who he's talking about here.
It says, a man shall not pluck them out.
And it's not a man that's going to pluck up those who don't bear fruit. Jesus said, John 15, it was the Father that was going to pluck up. Not a man, the Father. Well, here's the point. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, you have nothing to fear. Nothing. You have eternal life. You're eternally secure. Because a disciple of Jesus Christ, they hear his voice and they follow him. What does follow mean?
Obey.
Okay. What does disciple mean? A mathetes is a follower. Follower, you see. So, you can accept Jesus and not follow him. There's multitudes that do it. And go to church every Sunday. Still don't follow him. See. But the people that follow him, listen, I don't think they have anything to worry about according to what Jesus said right here. You know, he said, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. And no one shall snatch them out of my hand. It's not possible for that person to be lost. Not possible. There is no power on this earth that can make this person be lost. They are a follower. They are a disciple of Jesus Christ. But what we're talking about is people who like to make up their own gospel and just turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. And consider that once saved, always saved, so there's no use in taking any of these warnings seriously, obviously, you know, since you're once saved, always saved, you know. Since we are elect, right, and we can't be lost, why should we ever worry about it? These people are not motivated. Why aren't they motivated? They got it. You see, they got it. So why worry about it? You know, their ticket's been punched. God wants you to take the threat seriously. And of course, if it's once saved, always saved, why worry about it? That's ignorant. Who is it that's going to ultimately be with the Lord? Revelation 17 tells you who it is that's ultimately going to be with the Lord. Revelation 17 and verse 14. These shall war against the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they also shall overcome that are with him. They are called and chosen and faithful. Called and chosen and faithful. That's who's going to ultimately end up being with the Lord. You know what? These people right here were written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. These people right here. All of the called were not. Only the called who are elect were written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. You know how we can prove that? Let me prove it to you. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 7 and verse 8. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, talking about the beast, and to overcome them. And there was given to him authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation. In verse 8, Revelation 13 and 8. And all that dwell on the earth shall worship him. Everyone whose name hath not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of the life of the Lamb that hath been slain. So everybody who's not written in that book is going to worship him. Everybody. I have to prove, first of all, that this is only talking about the elect. Okay? First of all, there are people from the life, from the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Why was Jesus slain from the foundation of the world? When was Jesus physically slain? Not the foundation of the world, just 2,000 years ago. Okay? So, how is he the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world? Because God speaks the end from the beginning. It was this whole plan was in God's mind before step one, you see. And he speaks the end from the beginning. So, all of this was done. In God's mind, it was done. It was finished. It was accomplished. Okay? But Jesus wasn't slain until just 2,000 years ago, which was 4,000 years from the beginning. Okay? Well, so Jesus wasn't slain 6,000 years ago in the beginning. Okay? Well then, was your name physically written 6,000 years ago? Or was it physically written later? Watch, Psalm 87. You know when your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? When you get saved. Psalm 87, verse 5. Yea, of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one was born in her. And the Most High himself will establish her. The Lord will count when he writeth up the peoples. This one was born there. You know what? When you get saved, the Lord writes your name. Okay? If you don't overcome, he blots it out. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5. Follow with me here now. Keep you thinking on what I'm saying.
All right.
Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5. He that overcometh shall thus be arrayed in white garments. There's the wedding garment right there. And I will in no wise blot his name out of the book of life. We have to overcome temptation. We have to overcome sin in the wilderness. That's what we're here for, you see. And the person who overcomes, he's not going to be blotted out. But the person who fails is going to be blotted out. Now, the Bible says in Exodus, I believe it's 32. Look at that. Exodus 32. I'm right here. Let me see. Exodus 32 and 33. Who is it that's going to be blotted out? And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Well, that's pretty clear. So, we've got two witnesses. I'll give you another one. Psalm 69. Here's another witness. He's talking about those that persecute his, those among his people that persecute his people. And the Bible says, let's start in verse 26, because it identifies a group of people we're going to be very familiar with before the end. Some of these people that are persecuting you, Pat. Listen to what he says. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they tell of the sorrow of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity to their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of life, and not be written with the righteous. So they persecuted God's people. Who is it that persecuted God's people? In most cases, it's what we've called God's people. But here's the point. If Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, but yet he didn't actually become killed for 4,000 more years, he wasn't slain for 4,000 more years, and we were in him before the foundation of the world,
and we actually